Hello, WQV. This is MCH calling. We're going to put the plan back on for about 45 seconds, and you can listen to him if you've got time. I'm going to cut this receiver off to listen to our own signal for that length of time, too, so I won't hear you if you call for the next 45 seconds. Right. This recording by Mr. Planbeck will begin 40 seconds from now. 40 seconds from now, Mr. Planbeck will commence this recording to the NBC. The recording will commence 30 seconds from now. This is a recording for the NBC by Mr. Herb Planbeck, to be sent to WHO in Des Moines. 15 seconds from Wolf.
Hello, WHO. This is Herb Planbeck with the Third Army, again broadcasting from somewhere along the Western Front. Wherever I've gone on my assignment with our fighting men, I've found thrilling and challenging activities. But of all the enjoyable experiences, none has surpassed my visit with the men in the 718th Railway Battalion. This is the unit that came into Normandy last summer and has written a brilliant chapter in this war. The unit has had little recognition and, as I see it, deserves a great deal. Proof of their meritorious work is seen in the Bronze Star citation for the battalion's efforts in the French campaign. And in the place of honor, it is in the hearts of the men who depend on this unit for supplies. I met members of the unit in the battalion headquarters, an old four-wheeled French batty gauge car where Sergeant Satori of New York is in charge of records. To my delight, nearly a dozen Ireland appeared, all glad to meet someone from home and to again see an ear of Iowa corn. We'll hear from some of them during this broadcast. Next door, or rather in the next car, a six-wheeler, I found Major Robert Wright of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, the commanding officer. Major Wright has an interesting office with Old Glory proudly displayed on one wall and a huge captured Nazi banner on the other. Major Wright, we want you to speak first. Where did this battalion have its beginning?
Down in Texas, at Fort Sam Houston, then to Claiborne, and then overseas.
And when did they come overseas?
Last July.
Briefly, what is this unit's responsibility?
Our responsibility is to move supplies and troops into combat zones just as far as possible.
And what type of equipment do you have?
Quite a variety, Mr. Planbeck. We use American, Belgian, Luxembourg, French, and German locomotives, and the rolling stock consists of our own, as well as French, Italian, German, and other cars.
Of course, we won't reveal anything about our present location and assignment, but everyone knows you're supplying men up on the line. We ought to have a word, though, of some of the campaigns the 718th has been in.
We have been in a lot of them. We have followed the Third Army from Fellaini and Normandy all the way through Paris, on to Nancy and elsewhere. When the breakthrough came, our battalion was called on to furnish supplies to Third Army units around Bastogne and other areas.
Your boys carry on right on the road wherever duty calls them.
Yes. Our portable machine shops, tools, and equipment all move right along with us wherever we go.
How are our Midwestern boys?
Oh, they're good boys.
Thanks, Major. And now to some of these boys. One of the engineers with the group is Sergeant George Reisinger of Fort Madison, where his mother lives. Sergeant, will you give us a brief comment about some of the things you wonder about while railroading here?
About all the things that might happen. Night work is always in blackout, so we wonder how far the track goes, how strong the bridges are, and if they are there.
How many different engines have you handled?
Mostly some of our American ones, but also French, German, and Belgian.
Comparing them to our big locomotives in the States, how are they?
Ours are the best, but the Germans are pretty good, too. Mainly the foreign locomotives are only half-size, have less power, and poor braking.
Were you in railroad work before?
Yes, most of our men were.
Thank you, Sergeant Reisinger. Signalmen are also important on a line such as the one here. I'd like to call on signalman Sergeant Edward Kimmy of Cedar Rapids, who has had his experiences too. Sergeant, how high did the snow get this winter?
Sometimes nearly to the top of the pole.
What is your work?
Install and repair communications.
That's an important job. Any problems?
Earlier we had sabotage by collaborationists and actors.
Your wife lives in Cedar Rapids, doesn't she?
Yes, and I wish you'd tell her everything is okay.
All right, we'll do that, Sergeant Kenny. Sergeant Charles Coffin of Farmington, whose wife now lives in Marshalltown, is here. He was raised on a farm, but now he's a diesel mechanic with the battalion. Sergeant Coffin, you look as though you're feeling all right.
Yes, I'm feeling okay, but I'm plenty anxious to get back home.
What is your work called for?
Mainly to check these engines over and make necessary repairs to keep them on the road.
What has been the hardest part of your job?
During the breakthrough, engines had to be kept running at all times. It was cold and we had no antifreeze. All repairs were made outside.
Were you on a steady shift?
I'm on call 24 hours.
What about parts? Are they available?
Not always. That's one of our big troubles. We have shortage of parts and also tools.
I see. Then you have a little grudge against strikers. Well, after working on these different trains, I suppose ours back home looked pretty swell.
Everything back home will look like heaven.
What would you say if you had a chance to talk to the folks at home?
It would be hello to my wife and the folks and best wishes to all.
Thank you, Sergeant Coffin. Next, I want to call on Sergeant Ron Hamilton of Marshalltown, whose wife and baby daughter are listening at Cedar Rapids. Sergeant Hamilton is one of the key men with the battalion. He's mess sergeant for the entire unit, and that's what I call a job. Sergeant, briefly, what are your duties?
I'm in charge of getting food for the entire battalion. Supervise the cooks to make sure that the daily supply of food and plus 2 days' reserve.
How in the world do you get this big supply?
By requisitioning from quartermaster dumps. We'll haul it in trucks to the unit.
Ever encountered difficulty finding supply depots?
Especially early in the campaign when we were in Normandy. We've been on the road as far as 36 hours trying to find supplies.
Now as to food, I've eaten some of it and it's top. Some of it tasted like good Midwestern products.
That's right. We've had pork and beef from Atlanta and Waterloo. Butter from Dubuque, shell eggs from Grundy Center, cereal from Cedar Rapids, canned goods from Marshalltown, Germany. And I could go on about the food that we get from the folks back home in Iowa.
That's great news, Sergeant. Now, if you could, what would you say to the folks?
That I'm well, very anxious to get back and have some things for sale and loyally.
All right, Sergeant Hamilton. Now to Sergeant Arthur Burke of Waterloo, where his folks live. Sergeant Burke is conductor with the battalion and has been with them through rough going and smooth, mostly rough. Sergeant Burke, what are some of the things a conductor on a front line supply train experiences?
It isn't bad, except to get a little early at times, struggling without lights,
and you fit the cigarette butt there.
Do you have a pretty steady run at times?
There have been a few times of 48 hours without sleep, and there have been stretches of a week without relief. But the job's got to be done. It got pretty cold through this thing.
How about the folks?
I sure wish I could have been with them for the 27th anniversary of the last of March.
Thank you. Another Iowa man who's had an active and interesting job with the battalion in its exciting move from Normandy to the German frontier is Clyde Cooper of Manchester, where his wife and boys now live. Clyde is known to many folks back home for his work in the show ring, where he exhibited horses at the Iowa State Fair and Waterloo Belgian Show. Clyde, have you been seeing any good horses?
Overheard?
Oh, yes, some fine bargains here, but the Germans took a lot of the best ones.
What work have you been doing?
Engineer most of the time.
And were you with the crew on its first run from Le Mans to Bruges?
That's right, and that was our first time to be under fire.
Have you been under fire since?
Several times.
When were you the most scared?
At Bastogne, where we were pushing a Belgian train. It was a typical IRA blizzard night, and we could not see, but heard plenty.
Another question about the livestock.
Did you see much here?
It looks to me like there would be a good business importing after the war.
Think about the acquaintances back home, any?
Sure, Harry Lund, J.C. Hubbard, A.B. King, E.S. Barrett, and many others.
How long have you had that handlebar mustache?
Since Christmas.
If you could, what would you like to tell the wife and those three boys?
That I am very anxious to get back home and that I hope that it won't be long.
We all hope that with you, Sergeant Cooper. The next boy to be interviewed is another staunch Iowa booster and is with the 9th Traffic Regulation Group in the Transportation Corps. He's Sergeant Donald Lowe, whose parents live in Waterloo. Sergeant, what's your role?
I'm a railroad transportation representative.
And as he rose, and as one of those who has been lost more than once here in this section, I can say you men are a real help. What are your duties, Donald?
We regulate the movement of troops and supplies to the front, help load hospital trains, and assist GIs, correspondents, refugees, and others.
Refugees make for quite a problem, don't they?
They surely do. Hundreds of them, French, Russians, Poles, and others, help speaking their native language.
What a job.
Yes, but it's one way to help the Allied cause.
What shall we tell your folks when we get back?
Well, I'm fine, Mom. Like my work, I'm awfully glad to have a fellow Iowan come here. Thanks a lot, Herb.
Thanks to you, Sergeant Lowe. Next, I'd like to talk to a young Iowan who is generally about the most popular fellow in the outfit. He's Sergeant Jarrett Gelder, whose folks live near Wellsburg. Sergeant Gelder is a cook for one detachment, and how the boys like to ride him. Sarge, what's cooking?
Sometimes it's burning.
Not too much, though, I guess. What do we get for breakfast?
Hot cooked bacon and omelet, loaded with those good powdered eggs.
Powdered eggs. Oh, boy. What for dinner?
Mostly soup.
How many are at your table?
About 125, if they don't run in many extras.
What's the hardest thing to prepare?
Frozen chicken.
For your own favorite dish, what?
If I can get a steak, French fries, and cherry cobbler.
Sounds like an after the war dream.
Did I instruct often?
I'll say to do about every day. Sanitation is important.
Sergeant, they tell me you're about the only fellow in the Army who has ever ordered a general around.
I didn't exactly order him. I just didn't see any signal when I told him to get out of my kitchen. I'm glad he was a good sport.
You were lucky on that. I think there's a girl named Gracie in Iowa who wonders about your cooking.
I sure hope she can cook better than I, or it won't be good.
All right, Sergeant Gelder. Private First Class Otto Ulrich, whose folks are on a farm near Gary, Minnesota, is doing electrical work. What do you work on mainly, Otto?
Mostly on duty.
What about your mail?
Is it a time through pretty regular unless you move too far?
Mail is important business.
It's the thing you're always for.
I hope all of our listeners will keep writing your boys' letters. Is your dad carrying on?
Yes, as best he can.
Now, one of the boys from the 718th has been doing an especially swell job is Sergeant John Nagel, also of Fort Madison, where his wife and folks live, and this is his 94-year-old grandmother. Sergeant Nagel,
as a conductor who has been on the job all the time,
tell us some of the things that have impressed you.
In our state, the importance of getting supplies to our troops probably comes first, as well as moving the troops. It's been also interesting to watch the refugees. Now, I'm glad they're allowed to get out of any enemy country. Some of them look pretty tired, and they all go out to sea rises in a big way. It's an interesting job, and we really want this war to end quick.
You know I with you on that, Sergeant Nagel.
Now, before we sign off, I'd like to call again on Major Wright. First of all, to thank you for the moment, and secondly, for any important words you have. Mr. Kahnbeck, I'm sure I speak for all the Midwestern boys when I tell you we are glad your station, WHO, has taken this interest in our battalion. Naturally, we are pretty proud of what the 718th has done. We still have a lot more work to do, and I know I can count on all our men.
Finally, I would like to close by saying that one of your Iowa boys, Sergeant John Nagel, along with 10 others in the battalion, is to be cited for the meritorious work they have done. You Iowa people can be mighty proud of Sergeant Nagel and the Iowa boys' work. Thanks again, Major Wright. It's been wonderful to have this privilege. You can rest assured you are the guy that the rest of our boys. It's been great to be with them, and we're all counting on their coming home just as soon as possible. This is Hope Steinbeck speaking from the Western Front and returning you to the Mount.